Thank you for tuning in to this Darkey Multifamily podcast. I have with me Catherine Merritt Thrasher. Catherine focuses her practice on real estate tax appeals and real property commercial litigation. She works closely with commercial property owners and managers to ensure property tax appeals are comprehensively pursued from the initial county level to the Indiana tax court level. So just a quick legal disclaimer that none of the information provided today is considered legal advice. So if you want to pursue anything, please contact your own counsel. And also, Catherine works in Indiana, so the information given is particular to that state. And if you are looking at a different state, the information may be different. So Catherine, thank you for coming on. How are you today?
Oh, good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself. I know I did a quick bio there, but give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Sure. So I've been with Landman Beatty now for 10 years. We are a full-service real estate law firm. My practice focuses primarily on real property tax matters, exemptions, deductions, assessments. It's been an ever-changing world for the last 10 or so years. Before I started practicing law, I was a commercial real estate finance lender for a local bank here. So kind of got my start in real estate straight out of undergrad and have enjoyed it ever since.
Great. So you have quite a background. So that's awesome. The reason I want to get into the real estate taxes is I think that, that is a huge component, probably the largest expense in apartment ownership. can be that property tax, and it can go up significantly when you buy it. And I think understanding that is critical to making the right decision on buying a property, any commercial property for that matter, but particularly apartments. So what I want to do is I want to kind of start back in the basic ends of taxes for those that are less familiar with how they work and how they're set up. So if you don't mind, can we talk a little bit about how are taxes determined and what influences them from the city level, the county level, the state, and even nationally? Are there factors from all those places, or where are they determined? And how do they come up with that number of what they're billing?
Sure. So at least here in Indiana, taxes are determined every year. Our local governments put together all of their budgets. They figure out what they need their tax base to be. They look at where growth is happening, what additional funding projects they need. They throw it all in a big pot and stir. And then at some point in time, they come up with the millage rates or the annual tax rates that are going to be tagged onto each assessed property within the various townships and taxing districts. And ultimately, it comes out as a tax bill that in Indiana, you pay in arrears. So all of our tax bills are coming out here in the next couple weeks. Those will be for the assessments last year, payable this year. And so we are a year behind on all of our taxes. Indiana is somewhat unique in that we have property tax caps that were put in place to our constitution in 2008. So our various property classifications are capped at what they pay in taxes. Homestead properties pay only 1% of their assessed value. Multifamily properties, nursing home properties pay 2% of their assessed value, and all other commercial properties pay 3% of their assessed value in property taxes.
Okay. So let's go back to that. What you're talking about was when they assess their expenses, they do their budget. Is that's on the county level, or who's?
It is done at the county level. It's also done at the state level. So it starts at the county levels. They all submit. There are 92 counties in Indiana. They each submit their budgets to our Department of Local Government Finance. And then the Department of Local Government Finance does the final calculations and certifies the values for assessment and also the tax rates for each of the local districts.
And so then they come up with the mill levy, right?
Which correct.
Is total, or tell us what that is.
So that's the percentage that you will be paying annually for your taxes. So if your assessment is $1 million and your millage rate is 3%, you're going to be paying $3,000 in property taxes a year.
Okay. And then now different places have different, and maybe Indiana's the same, but different states at least have different assessed values compared to their market value. So in Michigan, it's considered or supposed to be half of the market value. And you said it was much less in Indiana.
We are 100%. So the assessed value and the market value should equal. That's not always the case, certainly. But that is by statute where we are at. We're not at half or one third, which many other states, especially in the Midwest, are at.
Right. So tell me if that really has any difference, because it just affects, you know, if it's half, then our millage rate would be twice as high. Right.
Correct. It's all math. It does not matter in the end. The property taxes are the property taxes, and the amount paid ultimately comes out to 100% of the true value.
Right. So what is for those that are less familiar, what is your millage rate? How would you calculate that? So what is a millage is a percentage. So it's a
correct.
1,000. Can you explain that a little bit?
So they've got, the simplest way to explain it is that they've got to cover all of their expenses. So if they know what their total expenses are, they divide by their total assessment base, they come up with a millage rate at that point in time. That's the rate that will be taxed at in order to cover those expenses in each of the local districts. The unique thing about Indiana, though, is that we have a millage rate, which is referred to locally here as the gross tax rate. And then because of our unique property tax cap system, we have an effective tax rate. Whereas even if the millage rate may be at 3 or 4% in some taxing districts, the effective rate, which is what you're actually paying taxes on because of our property tax cap system, may be only 1 or 2%.
How does that math work out when you've got, you know, the total debt that the county needs to collect, but you've got, and it's based on the assessed value, I assume. And
correct.
Then, but you've got people that aren't paying their full assessed value. Therefore, there would be a discrepancy in the amount collected. How do they compensate for that?
Sure. So we are seeing that happening a lot throughout the state. The biggest way to compensate for that are through voter approved referendums. So our school districts, our hospitals, other agencies that are in need of funding that have found shortfalls because of the property tax cap system, they're going to the voters. And every time we have an election, they're asking for an additional funding, $20 million, $30 million to pay teachers, to build buildings, things like that. If the voters approve them, then those additional percentage points are added on to the property tax cap system. So now an apartment community may only be taxed at 2%, but if the voters have approved it, it now may be 2.5%. And that's how we're filling the gap here in Indiana.
So how is that different, or is it different from a special assessment?
It's not much different, honestly. We aren't using that term. We're using voter approved referendums, but it virtually is the same thing.
Okay. A couple of things that you mentioned that I wanted to touch on. So you mentioned arrears, which means that the taxes is paid for last year, essentially.
Correct.
And then you mentioned homestead. Probably everybody knows what that is, but can you explain that a little bit as well?
The homestead? Sure. So in Indiana, homestead is considered your primary residence up to 1 acre of surrounding land. So as long as you are owning, using, and occupying your primary residence, and you have completed the application with your local auditor to confirm that you only own one homestead property in Indiana, you receive a 1% property tax plus an additional homestead deduction here in Indiana. So it's very beneficial to have that homestead credit in place. It's an additional $45,000 in assessment, not tax, but in assessment that is reduced from your overall tax liability.
Okay, that's good. So now, probably the real meat and potatoes of the reason that this call is so important is how, when you're buying an apartment or a commercial, any commercial property for that matter, how can you determine to your best estimate, and that's kind of what it is, what your taxes will go to? So you talked about the cap. So obviously it's going to uncap a purchase. So it will go to the assessed value. But as you mentioned, that assessed value in Indiana shouldn't change based on the sale, but it still can. So maybe give us a little bit of how to look at that. And then maybe how would somebody research to kind of give their best estimate of where it will end up being?
Sure. So sales chasing is prohibited in Indiana. We've got statutes and regulations that prevent assessors from chasing a sale, but we are a market value in use state. So market value in use means however the property is used, it's not highest and best, which is a different valuation standard, but it's a somewhat unique standard. A few other states use it. It's been called into question for a number of years, but it still seems to be the standard that we are using. It's the standard that our state says we have to use. So because of that, market value in use is dictated a lot by purchase price. The closest thing we can do to value a property is what an arm's length transaction looks like. So if a willing buyer and a willing seller say that a property is worth $10 million, an assessor's got a pretty good guess that it should be assessed at $10 million. But that doesn't mean that it will be assessed at $10 million, especially if it's been assessed for $5 million for the last 10 years. Let's use an apartment complex as an example. In Indiana, it's assessed based on the lowest of the three methods. So it looks at income, capitalization approach, sales comparison approach, and cost approach. If the cost approach, let's say it's a 50-year-old apartment complex, if the cost approach says it's worth $7 million, the sales approach, it just sold for $10 million, and the income approach says it's worth $9 million, under Indiana law, it should fall to the $7 million assessment based on that cost approach figure. So that prevents some sales chasing then and there. Other ways that sales chasing is prevented is to look at what the overall market's doing. They can't look at a single assessment. They have to look at what the neighborhood of assessments has done. So if there are 10 other sales in that market, your assessment's probably going to go up. If yours is the only one that sold, you've got a pretty good chance of your assessment remaining pretty consistent.
So when does that cap happen? So when we buy it, you know, are we locked in immediately? Like, how soon are we going to know when our base is that is going to have the cap on it?
Well, so let me back up a little bit. The cap is not an assessment cap. It's a tax cap. So constitutionally in Indiana, taxes for multifamily property are capped at 2% of the assessed value. But that assessed value can change year over year, whatever percentage it needs to change to keep up with market factors.
Okay, so the amount that you're paying actually is not capped.
If they
reassess it at twice the value, it will go up twice the tax rate.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense. So really that's kind of an open liability then. If prices go through the roof of all the sales in the area, your budget for that needs to be able to accommodate those taxes going up.
Correct. Absolutely. And anyone that I advise in terms of their overall assessment and when they're doing their budgets, to be especially conservative, you budget at 100% of your purchase price. The reality is you're probably going to fall anywhere between 50 and 75% of your purchase price in most jurisdictions. Some jurisdictions have been so underassessed and they're in the process of catching up that you may see larger increases in the assessed value.
Yeah, so that was my next question is, you know, how do we start? But so probably underwrite at the 100% and call that good. So in Ohio, I know for sure, and I'm sure other states that are out there where the school districts are, so the local governments are not chasing the sale, but the school districts are?
Right. We do not have that particular provision in Indiana law that Ohio has that allows the school districts to have standing and to sue into a case and to seek an additional increase in the assessment. That's not something that our legislature has put into place. So we're not seeing that happen here in Indiana.
Okay. Well, I think that was all the questions that I have. So that really dug into it pretty deep, and I think is a good idea of, you know, where to start. So maybe where are there websites that somebody looking to purchase can go to find out, you know, their current assessed value in their county's millage rate and things like that?
Absolutely. So I would encourage anyone to start with the county in which they're purchasing. Start with the county assessor's website. Vast majority of the websites have all of the information in terms of the assessed values. If they can't find it on their assessor's website, go to the DLGF's website. Again, that's the Department of Local Government Finance. That will have all of the information. That will also have all of that referendum information. So it's a very good overview of Indiana's property tax cap system in general and how it works and what your assessments are starting at.
Okay. So, yeah, and then, you know, again, you know, your states may be different if you're not in Indiana, but for certainly if you're buying something in Indiana, I think we have a great bit of information. So last question on that. I've purchased a building, some commercial building in Indiana, and then, you know, obviously I want to try and get my taxes as low as possible. What services can you have? So if I bring you on, where can you help me to keep my taxes low, or to bring them low and to keep them low? What avenues do you have, and what tools do we have to fight that?
Sure. So every year, assessments are determined on January 1st. Tax bills and what are called Form 11 notices of assessment come out. You've got until June 15th of each year to file an appeal. If an appeal is filed, my office or someone else who you've engaged to fight an appeal for you get started. We start at the local level discussing the properties with the assessors and their valuation analysts. We look at all three methods. We pull comparable sales. We look at what the income is doing. We obviously try to paint the rosiest picture possible of the apartment or multifamily building or office building or piece of land that we can to favor the taxpayer. If that's unsuccessful, we can then move it on to the Indiana Board of Tax Review, which is the interim step. That is in front of a administrative law judge where you can have a multi-day hearing to determine an assessed value. Again, if that is unsuccessful, then it goes to the Indiana Tax Court. That's where you have oral arguments. You're in front of a formal judge who only hears tax matters. She's very familiar with all things tax. It's a unique system in Indiana. It's helpful because you're not trying to present a tax case to a judge who's only hearing criminal cases. You're presenting a tax case to a judge who exclusively listens to tax matters. If that does not prevail, you can always ask to have your case heard by the Indiana Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has the discretion to hear the case or not, so they may or may not hear it. My office has handled cases all the way up to the Supreme Court. It's a fun process, but it's a long process. So taxpayers just need to brace themselves for a several year process for tax appeals on occasion. Typically, a tax appeal will resolve itself within 1 year. And then hopefully once it's resolved, it will continue at roughly that same assessment for the next few years, and then we may have to be engaged again. But in Indiana, every year stands on its own. So it's possible that a property has to be appealed year over year.
Do you think it is worthwhile to engage you, you know, on a permanent basis to kind of monitor? So let's say I buy a 100-unit apartment in Fort Wayne, and you know, should I have you just kind of as, you know, part of my team that's always looking at my taxes each year and seeing what is, if it's worth pursuing or going from there, or should I only bring you on when it's necessary? And then also, when do I start to engage you? Should I do that before I buy it or after?
Sure. So to answer your first part, typically what we like to do is we like to have our clients engaged from the beginning. And so we have a large database of clients. I'm in the process right now of reviewing each and every one of their parcels and each and every one of their assessments. We put together a comprehensive analysis for each of our clients, send them a report, and each year they make the decision with our recommendation as to whether or not an appeal is necessary. Honestly, it takes all of the burden off of the client. It ensures that my office is on top of all of the assessments and all of the deadlines, and they really just have to do a cursory review of the report that we have sent them. So I find it much easier, my clients find it much easier if they just retain us. We work on primarily a contingency basis, retain us to monitor their entire real estate portfolio year over year. Some like to just contact us when they think an assessment is out of line, but I hate getting the phone calls on June 16th and we've missed an appeal deadline because that particular taxpayer didn't know about the deadlines.
I agree. I think it's absolutely critical to find an expert in your state. If you're in Indiana, I certainly recommend Catherine. She's definitely knowledgeable and knows exactly what she's talking about. She knows all the counties and all the areas. So Catherine, is there anything that I missed that you would like to add?
I don't think so. This has been it's been a good conversation. I would encourage everyone when they're starting their due diligence to look at properties and to look at what they're purchasing, to really kind of go dig into their assessments and understand the history and the trends of those assessments. If you're seeing the assessments over a five-year period jumping all around, there's a good possibility that you're going to see a significant increase in the year you purchased it. If you're seeing it pretty level year over year, you've got a better shot at not seeing a large jump after a purchase.
Fantastic. So Catherine, how can somebody reach out to you if they want to engage you in their services for Indiana?
Absolutely. I would encourage everyone to go to Landman Beatty's website. It's www.landmanbeatty.com. You can find all of our contact information. You can email me. I'm more than happy to respond to phone or email. In person is also great if you want to come in. But I find a lot of my clients to be out of state, and I try to just be as responsive as possible via phone and email.
Awesome. Well, we will make sure to include your contact information in the notes below, and hope it's been valuable to everybody. I think it's been extremely valuable to myself, and I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right. Thank you.